Part 8, Chapter 2. They were overflying the load area. Johnny, Robert the Fox, the three near duplicates, and the shift leaders. They were high up. The air was crystal, and the mountains spread grandly about them. They were looking for a possible landing site back from the chasm.
"Aye, 'tis the devil's own problem,"
said Robert the Fox.
"Impossible terrain," said Johnny.
"No, I don't mean that. It's this turtle demon. On the one hand, we have to keep this mining going and fruitful, and on the other, the last thing we want is for him to succeed. I know very well he'd kill us all if he lost hope, but I'd rather be dead than see him win."
"Time is on our side,"
said Johnny, turning the plane for another pass over the edge.
"Aye, time. Time has a nasty habit of disappearing like the wind from a bagpipe. If we haven't made it by day 91, we're finished."
"McTyler!"
called Dunaldine from the back.
"Put your eyes on that space about 200 feet back from the edge. A bit west. It looks flatter."
There was a bark of laughter from the others. Nothing was flat down there. From the edge and back, the terrain was tumbled like a miniature Alps, all stone outcrops and sharp-toothed boulders. No place was flat enough even to set this plane down.
"Take over, Dunaldine,"
said Johnny. He slid sideways and let the Scot into the pilot's seat. Johnny made sure he had control and then went into the back. He picked up a coil of explosive cord and began to put himself into harness. The others helped him.
"I want you to hold about 10 feet above that spot. I'll go down and have a try at blasting it flat."
"No,"
said Robert the Fox. He gestured at David McKean, a shift leader.
"Take that away from him, Davy. You're not to be so bold yourself, McTyler."
"Sorry, I know these mountains."
It was so illogical that it stopped Robert the Fox. He laughed.
"You're a bonny lad, McTyler, but a bit wild."
Dunaldine had them hovering over the spot, and Johnny wrestled with the door to get it open.
"Proves I'm a Scot,"
he said. The others didn't laugh. They were too tense with concern. The plane was making small jumps and jerks, and the sharp ground bobbed up and down below. Even here, 200 feet from the edge, there was wind.